Let's hear more now from Australia's newly appointed chief scientist. A neuroscientist and engineer, Dr. Alan Finkel, is a former chancellor of Monash University and an entrepreneur. And as you'll hear, he's also a bit of a romantic. He spoke to me in Canberra shortly after the Prime Minister announced his appointment. Dr. Finkel, congratulations on being appointed Australia's next chief scientist.
Eleanor, thank you. It's a privilege.
What is your key goal in this role?
Well, the role is an opportunity to provide advice to the Prime Minister and the relevant ministers in all aspects of the continuum from the research agenda through to delivering value to the country that will increase productivity and prosperity. So advisory is the first one. The second is to be out there advocating for the role of science and technology to provide those improvements to our lifestyle. I deeply agree with the Prime Minister's position that if we are going to be a country that has a vibrant economy, then that's going to be built on science, technology, innovation, entrepreneurship.
You said at your press conference with the Prime Minister today that your vision is a world without coal. So do you back this letter to the Paris climate change talks from 60 prominent Australians calling for a global moratorium on coal exports?
No, I think that that is an overreaction. What is important is that ultimately, and it could be 40 or 50 years, it's not easy to affect change in the energy market. What is important is that we have a vision of a world where we don't use any fossil fuels for the ordinary activities of transport, heating, and powering our lighting. So if we can eliminate coal as the source of our electricity, and if we can use zero emissions electrical sources, then we would dramatically reduce our emissions profile. But we need to get there. So the best way to wean ourselves off coal is to invest in new technologies such as solar and wind with storage. So just chopping off what's there would be a very arbitrary thing to do.
How strongly are you prepared to push the federal government on issues like greenhouse targets, as you argue for this clean energy future that you talk about, which, you know, is quite a radical shift?
I don't see it as my position to tell the government what their policy should be. My job is to advise the government of where the opportunities are.
So what does that mean on something like greenhouse targets?
I will seek to develop evidence to help the government to make a decision based on the cost of getting to certain targets.
You also suggest we should look at nuclear energy, but you said at your press conference today that we need to build the infrastructure and training to make that viable. What will you be advising the government on that?
I would anticipate that I'll be advising the government to have an open mind to the variety of technologies that can be brought to bear. What's important is not picking a technology. What's important is to say our goal is to have a low emissions future, and we need to use the right mix of zero emissions technologies, be they solar, wind, hydroelectricity, or nuclear power to get there. Now, it may be that for the world as a whole, nuclear is essential, but in Australia, it's not. Australia is absolutely blessed with massive amounts of solar, vast amounts of wind, but we don't have the storage yet. If we can get the storage and build out our solar and wind capacity in Australia, we might not need nuclear. At the very least, I think that we would want to be part of a worldwide debate, even if nuclear is not an option that Australia needs to embrace.
As you say, Prime Minister Turnbull has made it clear that he wants to drive innovation in Australia. What do you see as the key steps needed now to build an innovation economy?
It's a complex thing. There are no simple solutions. One of the important things is to have an innovation strategy, and the government is working on that at the moment. Getting that vision of the kind of economy, the kind of society that we want to be is critically important.
The outgoing chief scientist, Ian Chubb, says political leadership is critical for driving innovation too. He also wanted to see more funding consistency for research. Do you agree with him?
I do. And I think that we have leadership that is absolutely committed to the innovation agenda. In terms of more money, it's complicated. More money is always good to the extent that we have to work with the money that is there. The challenge is just to be smarter and be maximally effective.
You're a neuroscientist and an engineer who's also an entrepreneur, and you've founded a global science and tech company, Axon Instruments. It was based in the US, though. Why not here?
Could I answer with one word?
You can.
Love. I followed my wife. I was a researcher, did my PhD at Monash University. I did my postdoctoral research at the Australian National University. And I really felt that as something that I would take out of the university, embrace into the world of commerce and make instruments for other scientists to do the research. Around about that time, I met my future wife. She was also doing a PhD and she had lined up a postdoctoral position in America. I was young enough to be risk inclined rather than risk averse.
Risk is always mentioned as a critical thing for commercialising ideas. Do you think you could have done this in Australia?
I think that I could, but it would have been harder. The ecosystem where I landed, which happened to be Silicon Valley, was fantastic. But on the other hand, when I, after about 6 or 7 years, came back to Australia and kept the company American going, I ended up employing a group of engineers in Melbourne. And so I had development staff both in America and here. And I was delighted to see that the design capacity, the intellectual capacity and the work ethic of my Australian engineers was every bit as good as the ones whom I employed in Silicon Valley. So that gave me confidence that in principle I could have done it, but it would have been harder.
What do we lack here? What is it that we don't have that means that we don't commercialise our ideas?
We don't have, if the ideas are generated in the publicly funded research institutions, we don't have enough of a culture that encourages academics to get off the academic pathway and take a chance, either by leaving the university to go out to industry or to spend time working with existing industry. The reason that academics are concerned about spending time working with industry is that most of the metrics that we have are measuring excellence, quite appropriately, through publications and citations. What we need are some metrics that value the engagement that a researcher has with industry. Because unlike America, and this is a significant thing, if an academic leaves the research train, it's very difficult to get back. Whereas in universities such as Stanford, I happen to have my company near Stanford, so I saw this in practice, the academics, they come and they go. And if they go and they start up a company or they're involved in a startup, whether it's successful or not, if they've done great things, they're welcomed back into the academic pathway.
Now, you did have a senior role at Monash University, but do you think you'll be able to do more to fix this as Australia's chief scientist?
Certainly the chief scientist as the ears of government, but I've had 8 years as Chancellor of Monash University, which means that I'm coming into this role very well informed about the problems and opportunities in the university research sector.
You've made it clear that you're an advocate of wind power and solar power, and you've also praised this current government for its innovation focus. Would you have taken on this role if you'd been offered it by the previous Prime Minister?
Eleanor, the process has been going for a few months. I see this as an opportunity to serve whoever the current Prime Minister is, whoever the ministers are, to provide advice for the government of Australia. I think it's fantastic that we have a Prime Minister who embraces innovation, technology, agility, who sees how many, many things can be brought together for the benefit of the country. So it's a good time to be coming into a role like this.
Dr. Alan Finkel, thanks so much for joining us, and once again, congratulations.
Thank you, Eleanor.
That's Dr. Alan Finkel, who's just been appointed as Australia's next chief scientist.